Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to our second segment of the newly revamped Laker Hockey Talk program. We're going 55 minutes now for the rest of the summer each month. We have a show right about in the middle of the month. It's a Thursday morning always. Now it's at 8:05. It used to be at 8:30. And we'll go right up until about 5 minutes before the top of the hour to allow ESPN to rejoin. But Damon Witten, Bill Crawford talking Laker hockey, and we've talked about a lot of things so far this morning, but we've got lots more to hit on. Schedule-wise, I think you hinted at it a few moments ago. We don't know for sure what's going on with Union. We're supposed to play a two-game non-conference series out in Schenectady, New York, against Union College. That's in jeopardy right now because the Ivies have canceled out everything for the fall, and that probably will include Union College, although they're not an Ivy League school as such in football, etc., but they're going to get hit by that because they're surrounded by the schools that are. Are there any other things going on? I'm hearing stuff about Big Ten in football only going to play against Big Ten schools. If they do that in hockey, that means we miss the Notre Dame series that we had scheduled, or at least the Notre Dame game. It was a one-game thing up here around Thanksgiving. Boy, there's a lot of stuff up in the air right now.
So many uncertainties, Bill. And like I said, every day is different. You know, you come in with a different information, whether it's your players trying to fly back in the country or cross a border or the games and who's playing who. You know, I do have a little bit of a question. If Big Ten football is saying conference only, you know, for me, I think it's hard to see hockey not following that guideline. Fortunately, it's a winter sport, not a fall sport, so we might be okay that way. But, you know, again, we're just trying to put contingencies in place. You know, if we can't go east, let's schedule somebody more regionally. Maybe it's Notre Dame, an extra game, or maybe it's four games. Other teams that had, and I think Northern Michigan's already done that. They had one or two cancellations of teams flying in, and they've rescheduled more regionally. So, you know, I think there's a lot of movement still out there. Obviously, we've seen the impact of COVID on budgets, you know, with a school like Western Michigan and really all over the country. But the focus on regionality is really, really big. And, you know, we're just going to, I guess, make our calls and stay on top of it and do the best we can once we know more. But like I said, right now we're operating like our schedule's a full go, and we'll have contingency plans in place as needed if that does get adjusted and pushed back.
Yeah, the Union College series out there, that's a non-conference series we had. We had one non-conference game with Notre Dame that was tentative, and I think the under-18s are the other one. We don't really have that many non-conference. I guess what you're doing now is trying to explore, okay, who else is caught up in this? Is Ferris State, is Northern Michigan, is Michigan Tech? Is there somebody there who is going to lose games that we could then play and try to work it out regionally?
Right. No, exactly. You know, I know some of it's budget, some of it's COVID, but there's a real hesitation to jump on planes and fly across the country. And I guess this would be budgetary instead of, you know, jumping on a bus and busing somewhere. You're going to bus by 15 opponents to go play somebody when you can just bus up to Lake State or somewhere else. So that is a big part of it. You know, and Notre Dame falls into that. So, Coach Jackson and I have had a couple of good conversations and just ready to, you know, maybe make some adjustments and switches when the timing's right. There's some other schools in our footprint that we're having those same conversations with that would just be, you know, easy bus trips there. So I like our contingency plans, probably better, quite honestly, than our current non-conference. But we just got to be a little bit patient here for a few more weeks and see where things continue to shake out.
Yeah, and the fans want to know what's going on. I mean, I've had a lot of fans say to me, when are we going to get season tickets? When are we going to get a solid schedule? Well, they're concerned about it. You know, you mentioned a moment ago how important hockey is to the players. It's pretty important to a lot of people, too. I mean, the fans follow the game. Let's face it, up here in winter, if you don't have Laker hockey and the other sports, high school, etc., that we all count on, Laker basketball, you're going to go a little goofy here by the end of February into March. And
right.
We all know that that's going to be a problem. And so everybody's interested. They
sure.
want hockey. They want basketball. They want sports. They want to be able to get away from winter a little bit. And boy, if you just have to go through winter and snow blowing and shoveling and cleaning your roof off,
makes
it's
going
to get to be a long winter.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, and then we're no different. You know, like I said, our guys want to play. Believe me, we want to be out there. So again, we will have information on season tickets. Not a full schedule or games, but how to reserve a spot, you know, and we haven't really hit on that, Bill, but what's capacity look like? You know,
right.
all over, we're seeing different models on how many, how much capacity you can have. So that will have an impact. So when you get that information, you know, follow that, make sure you get a ticket and get in there. But you know, there's a lot to be unpacked still. I do think, I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn here or not, but I do think the GLIAC has maybe looked at some game reductions for the sports you mentioned. I think basketball is going to, you know, lose a couple games and try to go more regionally based. So again, a lot of different models out there of how this is going to shake out. And, you know, the fall sports are going to go through that first, just with the earlier start time. So we're going to watch that and be as patient as we can. You know, hopefully our modeling in the U.S. and our cases, maybe start going back the other way where cases are dropping and we're looking in a much more positive light to have a hockey season.
Yeah, I think the thing right now with COVID-19 is that the numbers of tests that are coming up positive are going up. The numbers of deaths are going way down. It's not killing as many people as it was earlier, but it certainly is a mess, and it's really affected everything, not just in the United States, but the worldwide. And it's really, really, really tough right now, and trying to figure things out and answer people's questions about something like Laker hockey is very, very difficult, because we've kind of got to play along with what everybody else is doing. Let's talk a little bit about players. Fans always want to know about players, and we've already mentioned who the new guys coming in are this year. Let's talk about some of the guys who are returning to this team and some of the guys we lost. You know, we haven't really hit on all the guys we lost at graduation, and there's some really good hockey players. I mean, we're going to be without Colin Sackelman. We missed him for half the season last year anyway, but he's going to be gone. I think I'd like to get a bit of an update on his physical situation and what he's going to be doing. Max Humitz signed in Grand Rapids with the Griffins. He's going to play at a very high level pro to start the season, and that's great news for him. He's a really good kid and deserves that opportunity. But we've got others who've left: Braden Gelsinger, Brian Basilico, Ian Johnson, Tyler Anderson, Brennan McKay, Roman Bengert's gone. He's going to play collegiately in Canada. And Alex Samandel went into the portal. I'm thinking that he's gone as well at this point. That's a young defenseman going away at this point. But those are the guys we're not going to have this coming season before we get into who we are going to have.
Yeah, you know, and you know, again, I think these guys were pretty instrumental in starting to put some things back in place here, you know, going to their junior year where we had the, you know, I don't know, it was a 23, maybe 26 wins, counting some of the exhibition or you know, national program, things like that. So it was a strong class. You mentioned Sackelman, you know, it kind of, you know, very, very tough way to finish his college career with his injury and missing the second half of the season. You know, I guess the other side of that is we've already adjusted to that loss. You know, we had to play the whole, I think, 3-4 months without Sackelman, and our numbers went up. You know, I never would have guessed we'd lose Sacco, and our defending would improve and get better that way. So it was unfortunate. He's doing great. He's in town training. He's fully cleared. You know, the NHL situation, tough time to come out for these guys. You know, before he got hurt, he had, you know, multiple NHL teams interested in him. I still think he'll sign either an NHL or American League deal, even with the injury and all this delayed with NHL going on. So a big, big loss there. You mentioned Samandel and Anderson from the back end as well. And, you know, two different kind of roles and guys. You know, Tyler, I thought, improved year after year. He's a big, strong kid. Probably our most physical defenseman, intimidating that way. So we'll miss a little element. I can think of many games where, you know, early on he'd have a big hit and he'd have guys looking around, creating space and time for each other. So he'll be missed that way. And, you know, Samandel was a guy that we kind of knew would take a little bit of time, but We thought he had some opportunities to maybe step up his game and play more, but he wanted to pursue some other opportunities. So we'll miss Alec as well. And, you know, a really, really quality kid in the locker room as well, which is hard to justify or quantify sometimes. Up front, you mentioned, I mean, you know, Max Humitz, obviously, you know, congrats on a contract and him achieving a goal of, you know, signing in Grand Rapids and starting his pro career in the state of Michigan, his home state, which is awesome for him, but a big, big loss for us. You know, him and Braden Gelsinger were probably the two forwards offensively that, you know, will really be missed. And Braden is a little bit like Colin. Instead of missing the second half, Braden missed the first half of the season. And when he came back, it really solidified our top six forward group. And, you know, he'll be missed with his speed and skill and scoring ability as well. And those other guys you mentioned, you know, maybe different roles a little bit, but Brian Basilico was a four-year contributor, you know, improved year after year, was a guy that we could rely on in certain situations and provide quality minutes, a lot like Brendan McKay. You know, Macker was a real good penalty killer for us, a good face-off guy. I thought their senior years, you know, started slow, and then as you remember and recall, they had a really good finish to it, so it was nice to see them finish strongly. And you know, those are guys that are a lot of experience and a lot of time down the stretch that's hard to replace, you know, guys who know how to play when the game's on the line, things like that. And you know, Ian Johnson, another guy that in some ways could be our biggest loss, and people will be, you know, maybe shocked to hear that, but when we went through the tragic losses we had 2 years ago with players on our team losing their parents, Ian Johnson was a guy everybody turned to, you know, just a central guy in our locker room. You probably couldn't find a more quality human being, you know, out there. And yeah, he didn't have the impact he wanted or we wanted on the ice, but just so important to a locker room and you know, caring about each other and building a group and building a culture. So Ian will be a big loss. And sometimes you don't maybe look at a guy like that and understand that or see that, but Ian Johnson was a really big part of our team, and it's going to be interesting to see how he's replaced in that locker room.
Yeah, because somebody's got to fill that role. Somebody's got to be the guy that everybody looks to. You need a shoulder. He always had it. He was a good kid. And Roman Bengert, he never really got a chance to show what he could do sometimes, and yet when he did, he was really good, or he wasn't so good, and so now he's going to move on. He's just, the thing about him is, he's an outstanding student. He's going somewhere in life, that boy.
No question. Yeah, and I miss Roman there. He's at the bottom of my list as a goalie, but you know, he came in with high accolades. He was Manitoba Junior Goalie Hockey of the Year. And then if our listeners remember, if you remember, when he came in, he had that strange ruling. He got ruled ineligible, right, through the NCAA because of an agent contract or advisor contract he had signed, which we had never seen before. Cost him a year of eligibility. And then from there, you know, was kind of a little bit buried behind Nick Kossoff and Merrick's Mittens. And like you said, never got much of an opportunity. So, you know, that can be really challenging. But again, you know, he's a 4.0 student in mathematics, just a brilliant kid, you know, great in the weight room as well, very dedicated there. And another guy that, you know, he added an element to our team that will have to be replicated and replaced and won't be easy to do, but we wish Roman well with his new home up in Canada.
Let's talk about the guys who are coming in now. We've mentioned these players every show so far this summer, and fans always want to know, who are the new guys, where are they from, how good are they, can they play? We'll find out. We'll find out in the future. We think all of them are pretty good. You've got Artie Borshiov coming in from Belarus. We've got another international player there. We've got Jacob Bengston, who's out of Sweden but played in Waterloo last year in the USHL. Jeremy Gervais, very good defenseman out of Salmon Arm, which is the same place you're getting Ethan Langenegger, the goaltender who's coming in. Tyler Williams out of Nanaimo in the BC League. Benny Posa out of Des Moines in the US League. Spencer Dembeste, he's interesting. He's a kid out of Marquette, Michigan. Played in Johnstown in the North American Hockey League this past year. Didn't have the greatest year, but he's got a lot of potential. He's got a big body, he can play. And Josh Wildauer looks like he could be somebody who's going to step into the lineup. He's a very good offensive player, forward out of Coquitlam in the BC League. And then we announced it last month, Jack Jeffers is going to join the Lakers. He's out of Alabama Huntsville. He transferred when he had the opportunity to do that, when they had cut their program. They've since rejuvenated the program and put it back together. But Jack Jeffers has 2 years of eligibility. He's a big body too, and he can skate, and he's going to come in and help Lake Superior State. I think that's everybody. I don't think I missed anybody.
I guess I would just throw in the other transfers that were here at Christmas, and Logan Genuine and Brandon Percelli, not freshmen, a little bit like Jeffers, but transfer students who, I think will have a big impact when they're ready to play. But I think it's a class that covers a lot of different areas. I think, again, the question will be, that replacing the Humitz goal scoring ability, the Gelsinger offensive contributions, really Colin Sockerman, I think, is maybe leading the country in goals by defenseman when he went out. We're going to have some questions up front, but I think the D-core is, a really, really strong point for us, and I guess even backing up beyond that, you got Mittens coming back for a senior year. I think the battle between Isley and Langenegger will be really, really strong, and we'll see out of those two, who can kind of grab some opportunities behind Mitz. Expecting Mitz to kind of play the whole year as he finished, it would be, where we'd anticipate that to go. And then one of those guys getting some very valuable experience, it's going to be hard to play both of them any meaningful minutes, because what Merrick's would should expect to play or hope to win that role. They'll get here and they'll compete it out. But we like that competition there. It's probably the deepest we've been with all three goaltenders in my time here. And I think that's a good thing. I'm not sure we've had that kind of competition, throughout our three or four positions there. So I think that's a good thing for our program and our players. And then, as you mentioned, we return a lot of D who've played. Kybal Norty have played a ton of minutes for us. Rydell Arvid Hendrickson played a lot. Mitch Oliver, until he got banged up late in the year, Mitch was having a really strong year as well. Mike Manera will return back there as well. And look to build off a freshman year where he learned and came along in practice and didn't get much of an opportunity beyond the national program game where he played really well for us. But we expect those three guys, to have a chance to grab a role. It's going to be really competitive for them. Those guys can play, and we just did a Zoom meeting with their D-core on Tuesday, showing them some of the habits we like to play with, style of play, things like that. And, they're excited for what they add and what they can do in our system and our structure. But they all bring a little bit of a different element, but they've got good size, they've got good skill. When you look at Bangston and Borshoff coming out of the USHL, I think that's a little bit of they've got a little bit more readiness to jump in and play because of that league prepares kids so well. But Gervais went into Salmon Arm and ended up leading the league in points per game for defensemen after the trade deadline, and high hockey IQ, can move puck, sees the game really well. So it's a group we like, and they're gonna take some minutes from some guys who have played a lot and really add a good element to that other D-core that we have returning.
Yeah, we talked about returning defensemen, and you mentioned most of the names. In fact, I think you hit them all. But you look at a guy like Arvid Hendrickson. I thought he got better and better and better last year as the season went on. At first, I thought, well, this guy's he has trouble with his feet a little bit, and he doesn't move that well. But I thought he got really – and you let him play. You played him a lot. And I thought by the end of the season, he was one of our better defensemen. And you got to look at him and say, hey, the guy's like 6'6", 6'5". He's going to help us back there.
Yeah, well, and he actually skates really well for a big man. But, early on, yes, he was adjusting to the level and the step up from junior hockey. But when you look at some of the clips from him, and if you don't know his number or as the season progressed, he is for his size, his mobility, his skating ability is really high end. Now, can he add a little bit more element of threat offensively from the blue line, activation, things like that? And because he skates, he can. But that's going to be the challenge for Arvid is where exactly is he going to be more of a 5'6" shutdown guy, or can he add some offense along with these other guys? But Will Rydell had a tremendous year. Mm-hmm. Lucas Kybal's been good this whole time here. Jacob Nordquist is an outstanding defenseman. Battled injuries each of his first 2 years, but we think the back end is really, really strong for us and going to be really important. We didn't give up size again either. These guys coming in, Gervais would be the smallest at 6'1", but Bangston, Borshoff are over 6'2", 6'3", so they're big guys. They move pucks well. They can move themselves. So we think the D-core is going to be a really outstanding unit for us.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about Josh Wildauer. I hear a lot of good things about him. A lot of people think he's going to step right in and play.
Well, we're going to need, some of these guys to do exactly that. There's going to be an opportunity or two, as there always is. It's college hockey. You graduate guys, you need guys to come in and play. And, I think Josh is one of the guys that, is going to really try to put himself in the best spot. You know, Josh is a tremendous student as well, a very intelligent kid. He's been a captain most places he's gone. You know, he played for Jason Fortier up in Coquitlam, and they had a record-setting year. Josh missed a little bit of time early on, and then as he got back healthy and in the game shape, I'm not sure if he ended up first or second on their team, but, you know, was a tremendous player for them. So our fans will love him. He can skate. He's very feisty, competitive. I mean, a little bit of an undersized guy there, but, you know, he's a really good player. You know, he's going to be a big part of our program for these next 4 years. And again, he'll have a chance to see if he can come in and grab one of those, you know, maybe a top nine type role where he can use some of his offensive ability to replace some of the things we lost with Humitz, Gelsinger, and those other seniors.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how things develop. I'm just hoping we can play. I'm excited to see some of these new guys like you always are. Yeah, we're really going to miss a guy like Max Humitz and Colin Sackelman in there. We haven't really talked about forwards returning, but certainly wearing an A this year as a junior, Ashton Calder, we got to look at him. You know, I see Ashton quite a bit because he's a Sioux kid. He's in great shape. I mean, this guy's been lifting weights since school got out, and he knows what it takes to play at this level, and he's bound he's going to play at a much higher level, and I think he's doing a great job getting ready. I'll be interested to see how Dustin Manns comes back to campus and Alex Ambrosio and the hardest worker of just about any team in the country, Yuki Miura. I can't wait to see what he looks like. He can't get that much bigger. He's just not built to be big, but right. He works awfully hard. And, you know, you got Hampus coming back. If he can get into the country, like all the Europeans are going to have trouble with that. Louis Badon, what a year he had last year. You expect just great things. And I would think Louis's working really hard. He's been through it a year now. He's like Ashton. He knows I got to get bigger here. I got to do this. I got to be faster, you know, and Pete Violette and Nico Selivanov. We don't talk about Nico very much. He didn't play all that much, but another kid who could be a really good player.
Yeah, and I don't know if you hit Miro Muka or
nope,
Chase Gamlin.
Didn't hit Miro either.
Yeah, yeah, and Chase Gamlin, and so and there's some players, you know, and you know, when we look at it, you know, we started the year, Louis and Dustin Manns were, you know, two of our top probably three centers, and mm-hmm. and somewhere in there depending on the night. So we had, you know, it's not a great spot to be a freshman coming in, and being a center is challenging with faceoffs and defensive responsibilities. So we returned four centermen, and so that's the spot I like that stands out to me. You got Hampus Erickson, Dustin Manns, Louis Badon, Alex Ambrosio. All have played key minutes, key situations. So we're experienced down the middle, which is a really good spot to be on. And then you kind of plucked away some of those pieces. Pete Viette's ready. You know, we had a great year last year. It was one of our top goal scorers. Miro Muka took a big step forward, and we're going to need him to take that next step as well. Calder, you talked a lot about. You know, he's been had a great finish, was an all-rookie team 2 years ago. So we expect Ash to really, you know, take that next step this year and be a dominant player night in, night out. Yuki Miura, very good player for us. You know, really grew in a huge, was our top penalty killer maybe last year, and which is not something we maybe anticipated when he first got to campus. But Yuki is ready for a great senior year. You know, Chase Gamlin's another guy. You know, we needed him to have a great senior year. Again, I thought he, on that so-called fourth line last year, he was probably the most consistent from day one. And now it's Chase to really take that next step that way. And then you mentioned Nico as well. You know, Nico is going to have a chance to be one of those guys that looks to replace a guy like Humitz and Gelsinger. So we're going to look to those guys first and see what they can do, see what step they're ready to take with their game. And then those freshmen will be nipping right at their heels, along with the transfers. You know, Jack Jeffers has played 2 years in the WCHA, tremendous skater, you know, really highly touted coming out of junior hockey. And, you know, he can skate and play and knows the league well, and I still think Logan Genuine and Brendan Percelli are going to have a big impact on our team as well. You know, these are really good players, and it's going to be a competitive group, and whoever's going to get it done, you know, is going to be the guys that will replace guys like Humitz and Gelsinger in particular.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what kind of shape Genuine and Percelli come back in. They both played for very good teams, Arizona State for Genuine and at Minnesota Duluth for Puricelli, and they did skate last spring. I mean, they skated second half of the year a little bit, and they can play. I mean, I think Genuine, he can shoot the puck with a wrist shot about as well as anybody.
Yeah, that's why he's a big-time goal scorer, and, you know, that's natural for him. I can't remember how many goals he had, but I think he set a record in the North American League, and, you know, he's a shooter, you know, and I think finding the right guy, is it Louis Badon, who can feed him pucks and find him around around the net so he can bury. But, you know, he's going to have a chance to impact the game offensively because of that ability. And, you know, you look at a guy like Purcelli, as you mentioned, you know, went back-to-back national champion, Minnesota Duluth. And, you know, you don't make that lineup without being a pretty darn good hockey player. So Brandon can play as well. So it's a competitive group. You know, we do have questions to replace some of those guys, but there's not a ton of opportunities in roles available. And I think that's going to make it a really competitive environment, which is something that we, you know, always try to push hard.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to be in the coach's room a little bit preseason and listen to the arguments about, okay, I think so-and-so should play here. And somebody, you know, you got Zach in there and Mike and yourself, and you're trying to pump everything in there, and you got Googs throwing in an occasional comment on that. You know, we never did really mention the all-rookie team this past year. We've had so limited time with this show this summer, and they did announce an all-rookie team after the fact, etc. But Louis Bidone was on that all-rookie team, just as Ashton Calder was 2 years ago. And, you know, some really good players, obviously, on the all-rookie team. And Louis Bidone, good job right there to be one of the forwards.
Yeah, a great recognition for Louis, you know, and it was a big adjustment. You know, he is one of those guys. His path is so unique, you know, just coming from France where, you know, not a lot of players are coming. Like Germany, Sweden, you know, France is a little bit unique. So he spent time in the NA3HL, which, you know, not a ton of guys do, and then the North American League, and was a big-time scorer there as well. So he's a special player, you know. I think he's got a chance to be really, really good for us. And him learning the league last year, battled a little bit injury, had some injuries, got nicked up, had to learn to play through that a little bit, but really, really deserved that award. I think he's one of the most dynamic forwards, you know, in the Midwest. And, you know, he's going to have to come back even better. And I think he will do that. He's a very dedicated hockey player.
Well, we're going to take our second break on the show this morning. Again, we've got a 55-minute version, edition, if you will, of the July show of Laker Hockey Talk. We're going to do this in August and in September as well. And wow, I hope after we're whetting your appetite here for some Laker hockey that we have Laker hockey, that we do get started. You're supposed to start, Damon, October 3rd and 4th up in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I'm pulling for that. Let's see that happen.
No question. I mean, that's the goal. So if we do things right and we get moving the right direction, we'll hope we'll have that for our fans and get back to Taffy Able and get it rolling there.
All righty. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this on ESPN 1400.